There's only one way to drive a snowmobile, and that is fucked up.
Hey, he's got his pet Nip.
First thing
Boston
you say.
Boston had its own flag. Everyone in Boston would fly it out front.
And ski pole the shit out of that dolphin.
Hello and welcome. We are back. It is the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. It's me again, the host, Brian Beckner, host guy. Thank you very much for joining the show. Thanks for being a listener. Thanks for telling your friends. The show is blowing up, and it's all because of you guys sharing it with your people. I appreciate that. I want you to continue to do that. I also would like it if you would contact me directly. If you have thoughts on the show or thoughts on anything in general that you would like us to reflect upon here, you can send us an email. mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com is the way to do that. You can also leave us your voice. One of our favorite voice mailers is on the show today. And he contacted us via the telephone at 949-464-TBLS. As always, I implore you to like our Facebook page, The Baller Lifestyle Podcast on Facebook. If you don't like that page, you haven't seen the video of the Puerto Rican that was embalmed sitting up for his family for his funeral. Like, you wouldn't know about that if I didn't say it just now. But if you like our Facebook page, you would have already seen that video. And that's a very important video. It's something you should know about. So go on Facebook and like our Facebook page, The Baller Lifestyle Podcast on Facebook, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. If you're an iTunes user, even if you're not, delivers the show to you every week without you having to think about downloading it or find my tweet. All that being said, a man who I'm concerned about, Ed Daly, co-hosts the show because there was a Jersey City Mall fracas this week over a fight over the Easter Bunny photos. Easter bunnies are very sketchy. I hope
the Newport Center Mall.
I hope Ed Daly wasn't injured. Ed, are you okay? Were you involved in the melee?
I've been to that mall, and the last time I was at that mall was taking my kids to have their picture taken with Santa. That is the mall, and that Santa is fantastic. He looks like
great Santa.
Like he's
got
one
the
of those
real beard.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that must look so disturbing on April 8th.
Yeah, when he's riding his Harley around
they're
town.
Like, what the fuck is Santa doing?
Yeah, look at Santa on his fucking motorcycle.
But he looks great.
One month.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got the really nice white beard and everything. But like that video is amazing. I know exactly where it's the same spot where Santa is. And the commentary by the two guys who are watching the Santa brawl, I mean the Easter Bunny brawl, is amazing.
I didn't watch the video.
Oh, it's so good. He's like, the guy's like, Easter Bunny's throwing hands. Easter Bunny's throwing hands.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, you got to watch the video with the sound. It's amazing. And I mean, the head was off. So he was like going at somebody, but he's got the paws and everything. It's amazing. But it brings back like, what's going on with the Easter Bunny? Like, do people love getting their picture taken? I posted a picture this weekend of some Easter Bunny at a Easter egg hunt, and it's so disturbing. They're always so disturbing.
Very.
Like, Santa Claus, I mean, if we're going with these stories, Santa Claus, he's a man that has magic. So, like, when you see a man, the kids can sort of believe. But the Easter Bunny, it never even looks like a bunny.
No, it's an anthropomorphized situation, and it looks like it. I think I commented on yours that it looked like something out of a Korean horror movie. They're exactly. Very scary.
Yeah, they never look good. I've never seen it. And people this time of year are posting tons of pictures with their kids with that with the Easter Bunny. It's like it never looks good, and the kids look terrified. And there's no way any kid, even if you're like three, you believe that's. Like a bunny. Like, what is that thing?
No,
it's a mascot.
No, it's like the first one. Maybe that and the Tooth Fairy. Like, the Santa thing you can hold on to for a little bit. You're like,
right.
Yeah, you know, I was always too poor to have a chimney. So, but I figured, oh, he comes in the sliding glass door, you know, like the same way the people that stole our TV that one time came in, you know, like that's how Santa
if they can get in, Santa certainly can get in.
Of course, Santa's got a key or something. Like I know how you could rationalize Santa. But the Easter Bunny thing, you're like, wait, is it like a little rabbit, like the kind you see shitting at the park? Like that gets and what, is it one of those?
In his hands, like he's got paws.
He carries things.
He can't carry anything with a paw. And then what? So he's leaving chocolate versions of himself for you to eat.
So weird. Yeah,
jelly beans. Like what? What's going on? The theme is all over the place.
Very weird. I don't get that.
I feel like somebody's uncle on acid made up the entire holiday.
Totally. It's very weird.
And think of the religious reasons behind that holiday. It's really weird.
It's the resurrection.
guy coming back to life after being nailed and bled out on a Friday. He's back on. Like, what? This is a very weird thing for everybody to be excited about. Like, you know, the birth of Christ, you could say, well, this was the day somebody was born or something. You can celebrate a baby was born, like something that's a real thing. The other stuff, it's crazy. These are crazy things. Everything about this holiday is crazy.
They put him in like a cave or something, and 3 days later he came out and he's like, hey, I'm good. Like,
yeah.
Hey.
Oh, and by the way, I'm the Holy Spirit. And I'm also my own dad or something like that. Right. It's a lot of weird stuff. Like, this is a weird holiday. If you think about it, there's a lot of inconsistencies.
My dad is God, but so am I.
Yeah.
Because we're the same person. I'm human. He's also my dad.
And I'm, as Sam Kinison said, I'm a miracle caterer. He's like, you motherfuckers always just bring water to the party and I'm supposed to do something with it.
Yes. And also he's coming back, FYI. He's like, hey, I'm going to do this again sometime. Right. So you see how I came back?
Look busy.
Yeah.
Stay
be
ready.
Good. Do good shit. Don't fuck around, even though it's cool if you do, as long as you say sorry afterwards.
Right.
But I'm going to be back. And when I come back, even though I'm really nice, I'm going to fuck everything up when I come back. So be ready for that. Because I love all of you, except the ones that I'm not going to love on that time I come back.
And with
my dad.
And the way you can honor all of this is by having some weird rabbit hand out chocolate versions of himself and jelly beans.
But remember me every year with anthropomorphized scary furries at the mall. That also reminded me, there's a website. It used to be a website. I think it's on Tumblr now, sketchybunnies.com. Just Google sketchy bunnies and it'll take you there. And it's just pictures of, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's just pictures of Easter bunnies and they will freak you the fuck
out. Yeah, the one I posted this weekend should be one of them.
Right. There's also one, and when it comes Christmas time, there's a Santa Claus version, sketchy Santa.
I have a book called Scared of Santa, and it was like the Chicago Tribune had people like submit their best pictures, and it's like 50 years worth of horrible looking ones.
Yeah, those are good. I like those. Ed, I was thinking of something. This might have happened last week, but we didn't get to it. Benny from L.A. Law died. He was like the developmentally disabled character,
right.
Which in hindsight, it was the 80s, but I don't think it's really cool to get regular people to play developmentally disabled people.
Yeah,
like that.
Right. That's like, that's like Hollywood getting all the, Hollywood getting one of the Fiennes brothers to play Michael Jackson.
Right. It's like taking Italian guys and painting them red and have them be the Indians back in the day.
That's
you're not allowed to do that anymore. You can get, there's developmentally disabled actors, like high functioning.
Oh, how about the
Down syndrome?
How about the Life Goes On kid?
Right. There's good example right there.
Or
Life Goes On kid.
Or Jerry from Facts of Life. Well, no, she had
cerebral palsy.
She had TP. Right.
Yeah. And thoughts and prayers to Benny from L.A. Law. Larry Drake was his name. He also played Darkman. He had a few. Oh, Ed, you pointed out that he was the racist guy drinking beer at the beach in Karate Kid.
Hey, he's got his pet Nip.
Yes, yeah, that guy. I had forgotten that he was that guy.
That set up the dramatic beer can karate chop scene.
Yes, I mean, very, like, such a weak trick, Miyagi. Like, anybody could knock down beer cans. I mean, I could just flick them with my finger.
I think there was a there was a bottle or two, but yeah, there were cans.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes, he did. But that's not even possible, by the way. Unless they're glued down, he couldn't karate chop.
Can karate chop a bottle and just like smash it to the ground.
Of course. Yeah, he cut them.
But that would have been weird if he was sitting there by the beach gluing bottles to his car.
But for our purpose, that would be weird. That would have been odd, just for Miyagi's trick. For our purposes, the passing of Larry Drake, Benny from L.A. Law, it struck me in a different way. Because, Ed, how fucking old is this guy, Larry Drake? He was 66 when he passed.
66 when he was Benny on L.A. Law.
No, Ed. He was 66 a week ago when he died last Friday. He died at age 66.
So
like 5 days ago.
So we're supposed to, so that show was 86, right? That was 30 years ago.
Yeah. 30 years ago. Benny.
What?
Would have been 36.
36 years old?
Yes. Man,
Jesus. He needed sleep. I mean, that was his ailment. He was just a guy who needed sleep.
Yes, something was in the water. That's crazy. But again, thoughts and prayers. How fucking old is this guy? Larry Drake. He was 66. R.I.P. And one more thing. I just saw something just before we came on. I'm not one to follow sports, but I saw that LeBron James has apparently unfollowed the Cavs on both Twitter and Instagram.
He's a real bitch. Like I've been reading lots of things that like people behind the scenes like he cannot handle that he's not considered the greatest. Like because he's been considered that his entire life, right? And everything he's done, it was just the upward trajectory. He was the sixth grader that was better than everyone in his town. And then, when he gets to the NBA and he's immediately like the greatest guy in the NBA and he cannot handle all the love Steph Curry's getting.
Yeah.
And Steph then Curry he's and he,
Kawhi Leonard.
And he played the role of the GM and forced the
team. Yeah,
he forced them to trade their first number one draft pick, Wiggins, for Kevin Love. And then like it's not working. He forced the coach out like. He's blaming the organization for.
But he's in charge.
Yeah, he's running the show.
They put him in charge.
He's a terrible GM.
Yes. But also, it's so bitch like the whole like unfollow. I'm gonna unfollow you. I'm gonna, like you. If you're mad at them, you should just not care. I don't think you're really like going through your feed every day going, oh, what did the Cavs say today? Like, it's not like you symbolically follow them. And I suppose you symbolically unfollow them, but it doesn't really help your image to do that. It just makes you look so petty, right, Ed?
Yeah. And following a team, following a beat writer is a good way to like learn about what's going on.
Sure.
Following a team is like following Pravda. Like you're just going to find out the glorified, hey, look, I know we lost by 37, but hey, look at our guys handing out turkeys before the game. Like you're not going to get any real information from that.
No, absolutely not. It's a little weird, and LeBron James has got it. He needs a little help in the image department. Okay, Ed, voicemail. Whoa. Our buddy. It's been a while. We haven't heard from him, and we're going to get the dulcet tones of his beautiful Wisconsin accent. Of course, I'm talking about caller Kyle and Scanny. He's got a couple thoughts, Ed. Let's see what he's got to say.
Let's go.
Hey guys, what's going on? Kyle here. Hey, I heard something that caught my attention. Something about snowmobiling. Yeah, Brian, you are 100% correct. There's only one way to drive a snowmobile, and that is fucked up. I hope Comanche Poon ain't listening, but me and my buddy, we head up north Wisconsin every year, and it's about 3 days of I don't fucking really remember. And I listened to the episode twice already this week, and something's missing. I was looking for a voicemail from a certain somebody's first. What's up with that, Brian? You said you had it on the computer. Just let's play it. Let's hear it. Ed, let's go. Get him on this. Peace, guys.
Excellent submission. by our guy Kyle and Scani, right, Ed?
Absolutely. And you say at the top of the show that you want people to contact us however they feel, but like, he should always call in.
Yeah, if you sound, well, he does two things right. He has an amazing accent. He has a funny sounding voice, an interesting sounding voice, but also he brings the good content. We discussed. He's
delightful. He's delightful.
He said he's listened to last week's show twice, which I would, you know what I would do if I were him? I would download it and then I would listen to it and then I would delete the download and then I would download it again and listen to it again.
Yeah, that would be a good move.
Just get it fresh again. Right. But he's obviously a close listener because he's reflecting on last week's show. We were talking about snowmobiling, and I assumed you had to be drunk to snowmobile. And he said, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he said because he had real experience. Life, right. He has life experience.
He goes snowmobiling for 3 days at a time and comes home. He doesn't remember any of it, which is great.
Not great for anyone around him.
But then I had hoped that everybody had forgotten about this.
Yeah.
I mentioned last week, or it might have been a couple weeks ago.
No, it was a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I mentioned before that I had an incident. Oh, yeah, where it was International Women's Day, and we were talking about firsts, uh-huh. The girls we lost our virginity to. And I mentioned that mine accosted me many years later in a bagel shop and tried to embarrass me in a bagel shop and then left an unfortunate answering machine message at my parents' house. An answering machine message that I don't, and I said
that
I
your family heard.
Yeah, I think it's on my other computer, on an old computer. It's around.
We need to get it.
I had to record it like from a tape. It is, I'll be honest, it's not that funny. I mean, I guess
just scary.
I can let you guys judge, because this is a person that's clearly in crisis and a person that feels wronged and feels that she's had something done to her, and she isn't happy with the way things ended. So I'll have to dig it up, and I might have to do a little bit of editing. But I'm hesitant to say that I promise that I'll play it.
How about just a little snippet of it?
We will. Okay, I promise to play a portion.
Some of it.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent, excellent call, Kyle and Scani. And if anybody else wants to reach out, we've had a couple of good voicemail weeks back to back, which I like. I like to play your calls. 949-464-TBLS. Give us a call. Ed, I was on the radio last Friday, and this was a big topic of the week, and people are still talking about it this week.
Yeah.
And I held off because I said,
you're a good man.
I want to talk to my man, Ed Daily, about this.
This is an amazing story.
Yes, apprise us of what is going on with former Major League Baseball player Adam LaRoche.
All right, I'll give you the recap. So this week, as many have already heard, mediocre Chicago White Sox first baseman Adam LaRoche announced he was foregoing his $13 million salary and retiring from baseball. His reason? The club wouldn't allow him to bring his homeschooled 14-year-old son, Drake, to the park every single day. The GM explained the situation to the press. I asked Adam, said, listen, our focus, our interests, our desire this year is to make sure we give ourselves every opportunity to focus on a daily basis on getting better. All I'm asking you to do with regard to bringing your kid to the ballpark is dial it back. I don't think he should be here 100% of the time. And he has been here 100% every day in the clubhouse. I said that I don't even think he should be here 50% of the time. Figure it out somewhere in between. We think the kid's great, a great young man. I just felt not every day, that's all. You tell me, where in this country can you bring your child to work every day? And then Adam's brother Andy chimed in on Twitter, takes a hell of a man to step away from the game he loves for what he believes in.
Oh, my.
And the USA Today followed up with a report that said several players and staff members privately complained to the White Sox management recently about the constant presence of LaRoche's 14-year-old son, Drake, in the clubhouse. Multiple people say he was with the team about 120 games during the 2015 season. Brian, my question is this. What chance, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 not likely, 10 being very likely, what chance does Drake have in being a remotely likable human being as an adult?
Well, it's too late. It's too late. His life has been ruined. First of all, he's homeschooled.
Right. That's a huge problem.
Yeah. Secondly, his dad takes him to fucking work every single day of his life. This kid needs to go out and experience his own life, Dad. He doesn't need to go with you to your fucking job. You're not doing anything for him. You're doing it for you. That's your security blanket. You have your kid around because you like having your kid around, which says a lot about you. Like, I have kids, Ed. And yeah. You have kids.
And love my kids. Love my kids.
They're great. But you know what's kind of nice? When they go away to grandma's for the weekend.
Well, also, his poor teammates.
Yes.
I mean, fuck, like, one of the great joys of sports is just conversation in the locker room. Saying things that, like, you can say with a teammate that you don't have to worry about, like, leaving the locker room.
Oh, baseball players exist at the baseline of humanity. These guys are 100% of the time talking about three things: beer, pussy, and farts. And that is it. And they're playing pranks on each other, and they're all super rich. So they're doing stupid, they're paying the ball boy to go get them beer, and you know, they're buying cars, and they're just maniacs. And they're essentially children. And you bring kids around, and yeah, once in a while a kid comes through the locker room, but it's not like he's going to hang out all before the game, all after the game. So you can button it up for a few minutes, but this fucking kid is there 24/7. It severely affects the clubhouse chemistry. Like, these guys cannot be themselves, and it has to be super fucking annoying to have this kid there every single day.
Yeah. Or if a guy tries to be himself and like Adam gives him a look.
Yeah,
like, oh, you say, oh, I was fucking this girl, and then you see him like look over, like, yeah, we don't talk about that in front of my son.
Yeah, because also, and you know, I respect people's right to worship their religion, but Adam LaRoche to me seems like a God squatter.
Well, I did Jesus. Yeah, I did see somewhere in passing that he thinks maybe some of the club coming down on him is his close relationship with the Duck Dynasty guys.
Oh, shut. Oh, because he's like a tea partier too. Like, that's
he's part of that crew.
Yeah.
So it's a safe assumption to say religion is a big part of what he's about.
Right, but every team has a few of those guys.
Yeah, lots of sports have it, but.
Yeah.
Not in the form of a 14-year-old boy named Drake.
No, he's doing no favors to the kid. And now the kid's got to live with his fucking dad ended his career. He's not getting any more $13 million paychecks. He retired.
Way to put pressure on your son now.
Yeah,
you better be a real good guy to hang out with now.
And also, like, baseball's pretty cool, but you know that fucking Drake a few days a year was like, you know what? Those games end pretty late. Like,
and I saw that they put him, was he the ball boy, or did they just give him his own uniform? I saw a picture.
He had his own locker, Ed. He had a locker next to his dad's with his own jersey hanging in it. And he would take BP and take fucking ground balls with the team.
And like, I looked at, you know, he's a career like 260 hitter. Like, there's nothing remarkable about him. Maybe he had a couple of decent years, but a
couple of good home run years, I think.
But never, like, there's no way he was a top five MVP kind of guy. Like, he was never that good to be.
He's bounced around.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a douche.
Huge douche.
He's not doing his kid any favors.
But you know who's the biggest douche in the story? His brother.
Like, Andy LaRoche, former Dodger.
Made it sound like he was like Rosa Parks. Standing for what he believed in. Fuck out of here.
This isn't fucking Vietnam. He's not in Tiananmen Square lying down in front of a fucking tank.
What a jerk off. Standing for what he believed in. So his son couldn't get a locker.
Yeah, he's the one inconveniencing everyone else. He's the fucking guy that's making everyone else's life shitty because he wants to hang out with his fucking kid. Hang out with your kid occasionally. Like, make it an event. Hey, son, you want to come down to the locker room today? Maybe once a week. Maybe That's every a lot. Other week.
Once yeah, a week. Yeah, once a week's too much.
Maybe, you know.
And take your kid to work day. It's always a drag when somebody thinks their other kid like should have carte blanche at the office.
Yeah, I had some. Kids I had a bored all day.
Yeah, I had one time a woman on the trading floor brought her son and like sat him down. There was an empty seat next to me. But I'm like trying to get a trade done. And the guy's like, and he was a, yeah, like he was wearing like a Duke sweatshirt. And he was seriously like, hey, you went to Maryland. Maryland sucks. I'm trying to like get a trade done. I was like, hey, kid, not on my time. Like we can talk about this, you know, as we're walking out the building.
Those fucking Dukies, they go straight from graduation right to that trading floor. They're fucking kissed in, all those Dukies. It's the same thing. Like it's not an appropriate place for a kid. Leave your fucking kid at home. And a better idea, put him in fucking school. The kid should be in eighth grade right now. Like,
yeah, he's probably really dumb too. He must be very stupid.
Yes, he's got to be. Well, his dad's a ball player and he spends every day with him. What do you think? okay, Ed, you know me. I prefer fringe sports. I like rugby. I like small college football. And I like tennis. And I don't mind women's tennis. What's going on in women's tennis, Ed?
Well, Indian Hills Tennis Garden is hosting the BNP Paribas Open this week. And
Indian Wells.
Oh, Indian Wells. It was the spell check corrected on Indian Wells. Mm-hmm. The CEO, Indian Wells CEO, was asked if he's happy about the Open becoming a mandatory Women's Tennis Association event. His answer wasn't so PC. No, I think the WTA, you know, in my next life, when I come back, I want to be someone in the WTA, laughter in parentheses, because they ride on the coattails of the men. They don't make any decisions, and they are lucky. They are very, very lucky. If I was a lady player, I'd go down every night on my knees and thank God that Roger Federer and Rafa Nadal were born. Because they have carried this sport. They really have. Now, Brian, how does a man so stupid to share his misogynistic feelings become the CEO of anything? I'm always confused.
I know.
I'm not confused that people are racist and misogynist. Like, that I get. But to be so dumb that you think that's okay to say in 2016.
Well, it's crazy. But it's to me, it's the Mike Tyson buying a tiger analogy, because why does Mike Tyson think it's a good idea to buy a tiger? Because he doesn't have anybody that's going to tell him it's a bad idea. They're just, he goes, I'm thinking about buying a tiger. And all of his buddies go, hey, that's a great idea, champ. Champ, you need a tiger. Champ, why don't you have a tiger? I've been telling you, get a tiger, champ. Same idea. This guy's the CEO. He's the real big dick around Indian Wells. And no one questions him because he's in charge. And people that question him probably get fired. And so he thinks that when he's talking to a reporter, it's just like when he's talking to a subordinate and he can say whatever the fuck he wants. But the thing is that he's fucking wrong.
Like, women's tennis is better, right?
Yes, tennis is literally the only women's sport that anyone pays attention to. And maybe it's not quite, maybe the guys are still more popular, but it's close. This guy should be kissing the ass of every female tennis pro he knows. And just until like a couple years ago, the Williams sisters had boycotted that tournament because they felt like their dad had been, there was some racism towards their dad.
Right. I remember that. Yeah.
And so it's only been like 1 or 2 years that they've been back playing that tournament. They're never gonna fucking come back after this. Like, this guy should, this is the best thing that's ever happened to that club.
Yeah, and she is a massive draw.
Yes.
I don't know the numbers. I mean, talk about Federer versus, but like, if you just, to me, somebody who, I can't even call myself a casual fan, like, I may catch a few points a year, but women's tennis is 2/3 as long as a men's tennis match. Yeah.
Yes,
I mean, that is a huge thing in their favor. Oh, and yeah. And like, I mean, for somebody who doesn't follow it, I know of like 2 men's tennis players and I could name, I don't know, 5 women's. Like, they're definitely popular. But no, this guy is so stupid that like he can't. It's the same as the people who compliment Hitler's leadership.
Right. Right. Well, he built a lot of roads, Ed. People yeah. forget.
Right. He's nice to his dog.
He put Germany back to work. He was a vegetarian. okay. Well, I'm sure he'll get fired. Ed, you and I, we're not from Texas.
No.
But a lot of our listeners are. And while all of our listeners might not be from Texas, you probably know that we have some really great spirits that come from the state of Texas. And I know you know that, Ed.
Of course.
And we're not talking ghosts. We're talking liquor. Ever since Tito brought his vodka to the U.S. market, it's caught on like wildfire. Well, we're here to tell you it looks like we might also have the Tito's of whiskey gaining some steam, Ed. Herman Marshall Whiskey from North Texas has taken advantage of the fact that the Texas climate is perfect for producing their brown spirits. You may hate the heat, Ed. We know you hate the heat.
I hate it.
But your whiskey loves it. Mm-hmm. The 90 to 100 degree days that we experience in Texas increase barrel pressure to push whiskey in and out of the charred wood barrels more often, making your glass of Texas bourbon smoother and more flavorful. We know that. See for yourself, guys. If you're in Texas, go out and grab a bottle of Herman Marshall Texas Bourbon Rye Single Malt or Temptress if you can find it. Next time you're at a local bar, restaurant, or spirits retailer, Herman Marshall Whiskey, smooth Texas whiskey.
It would be nice to have that option of anywhere I go to be able to just order that instead of being out of state and just hoping for the kindness of our friend Mike.
When I'm at home, I'm so used to having my Herman Marshall, and then I go out, you know, it's not available here. So I went out with some friends to see some music on Saturday night, and they didn't have the venue. They didn't have Herman Marshall. And they didn't have Bullet, which is my usual go-to.
Yeah, that's my go-to.
And so I had to slum it with Maker's Mark.
That must have been a tough night.
Well, you know what I did, and I'm not proud of this. I had him put an ice cube in it. And, which I never do with my Herman Marshall.
Yeah, I go neat.
Yeah, I take it neat. All right, Ed.
We like our real. Yeah. And a game of real or fake for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, coincidentally, we were talking Bible. This is real or fake reasons in the Bible for someone to be killed.
Oh, okay.
All right. Number one. Disobeying one's parents.
Oh, that's real.
Number two, gathering sticks on the Sabbath day.
What if it's cold and you needed to make a fire? Like, that's not cool.
Hey, that might be the false one.
Oh, okay.
Number three, sexual relations with your in-laws.
I've watched some movies about that. I'd rather enjoy those movies.
Number four, wizardry. Number five, sex with your aunt or sister. Four of them are reasons for death.
Right.
One of them is not.
I feel as though wizardry is more of a modern invention. I don't think that biblical times featured that sort of terminology. I'm going to say that the false item in the Herman Marshall whiskey real or fake game is C, wizardry.
Leviticus 20:27.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Any man or woman who is a medium or wizard shall be put to death. Stoning is the specified method of execution. Let me give you a couple others. Disobeying one's parents. If a man disobeys his parents, they should take him to the elders of the city, denounce him as a glutton and a drunkard, and everyone should stone him to death. sexual relations with your in-laws. The penalty for sleeping with both a mother and daughter is all of them should be burned to death.
Of course.
Okay. gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on a Saturday. They brought him to Moses, who was unsure what to do with them. The word came down from the high that he should be put to death, and the entire congregation stoned him outside the camp.
Moses was a dick.
And finally, sex with your aunt or sister only invokes social alienation, but not the death penalty.
What?
Oh, that's amazing.
It doesn't seem to be much rhyme or reason there. No. It almost seems like they were making it up as they went along.
Sort of seems like that.
Weird. Ed, do you remember a few years ago when the University of Mississippi, 100 years too late, decided it might be a good idea to change their mascot from the very appropriate and not in any way insensitive Colonel Reb?
I do. There was a lot of naming controversy.
They still had Colonel Reb in the 2000s, Ed. So they had a contest of some sort and narrowed it down to a few finalists.
Mm-hmm.
One of which was Admiral fucking Akbar.
I do remember that. He was like heavily in the lead.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. Colonel Reb, military man. Admiral Akbar serves in the Navy. Like
there you go.
There's some synergy there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ed, they eventually blew that. Those Mississippians blew that amazing opportunity, and they're now just called the boring as hell Ole Miss Black Bears.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, it isn't. They could have been the Ole Miss Admiral Akbars. I mean,
sure.
Fuck.
Go Axe.
I would have a shirt.
Oh, yeah. Like,
you're a guy that collects shirts.
The marketing for that would be so easy.
Unbelievable. Well, Ed, it looks like we may have just missed an equally important opportunity. Something in the UK called the National Environment Research Council got a new £200 million. That's not how much it weighs. That's how much it costs.
That's like $300 million.
Yeah, you're a guy that spends a lot of time in the UK. You would know that. £200 million research vessel. And they thought it would be a good idea to give the public an opportunity to name the new ship.
Tactical error.
Well, Ed, it turned out to be a great idea because the organization's website crashed under the weight of the people's suggestions, and it's still open for guesses now or for votes now.
Suggestions.
So I'm going to give you the top 15 suggestions.
Okay.
Taking votes right now. Okay. Number 15, RRS Ada Lovelace.
Okay. There's going to be a lot of British people we don't know.
Number 14. This is like an icebreaker, by the way. Or it's not an icebreaker, but it goes in the Arctic.
Okay.
Number 14, RRS Not the Titanic. That's a pretty good one.
That is a good one.
13, Ice Ice Baby. 12, and this is weird. Indiana Hoops coach Tom Crean. They want to name it after him.
Wow.
There must be a British guy also called Tom Crean.
No. He did just beat Kentucky to go to the Sweet 16.
Maybe they're big NCAA Hoops fans over there. Also, Red Dwarf, Tiffany Aching. And I don't know.
That sounds like a porn star.
I don't know if that's if they're naming it after how my penis felt after masturbating to Tiffany when I was like 13.
But yeah,
maybe. Number 9, Usain Bolt.
It's
not even a British
Jamaican.
Guy. He's Jamaican. Here's another. It's Bloody Cold. Here is one. Pingu. Here's one. Here's a good one. This is like not confusing. Number 6, RRS Boat. And then they want to name it after David Attenborough. This one I take offense to. Number 3, Pillar of Autumn. I mean, you want to name it after the worst season of the year? The
best
most
season.
Depressing season?
Best autumn? Season.
Oh, my God. When the
football
summer goes
season.
Away?
Thanksgiving season. The greatest season.
Then there's some names. Henry Worsley, David Attenborough, I think we already mentioned. But number 1, Ed.
Yeah.
It's actually number 1 and number 5, but number 1, and it's leading by a mile right now, RRS Bodie McBoatface.
That is amazing.
I mean, that's the greatest. If they're going to let the fans name it, this is going to win because it's in the lead. Number 5 is close. That it's called RRS Bodie McBoatface The Return.
Just in case.
I feel like you would need a second. Once they get a commission a new boat, that could be voting.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. They're not going to put the next one up for a vote.
No, clearly. I don't think they're going to. Not if they got to name it Boaty McBoatface, which
So they figured, let's just get the return in there just so its name is up.
Yeah, Ed, much like the colonization of the Americas and baked beans for breakfast, can we expect Britain to blow this opportunity?
Yes. I'm sure there's going to be a bad technicality, but Boaty McBoatface, so absolutely. That's what you want when you look. You know when you're walking by and you look for the name of a boat or a ship?
Yeah.
You want to see something cool. It's always something really stupid. It's a pun, or it's named after the 20-year-old that the 60-year-old is fucking. Like, it's never something cool.
You know what you see a lot of is references to Jimmy Buffett songs.
Oh, Christ.
You see a lot of, like, Cheeseburger, Margaritaville.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Any of those, you're going to see a lot of. But I'll be honest. I don't think I've ever seen a boat called Boaty McBoatface.
That'd be the greatest boat of all time.
Yeah, it would immediately become my favorite boat.
Yeah, I would definitely say that occupies 1 through 10 my favorite boat names.
Agreed. A Tom Crane would be up there though. we'll keep an eye on that. Ed.
Yeah.
What are some of the not to put you on the spot, but what are some of the worst jobs you can think of? To me, it's like anything to do with the sewer.
Flight attendant.
Oh, that would be a bad one. Yeah.
You're a waitress not working for tips, right, and you're stuck in the sky and you could die.
And you make like 20 grand a year.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're that one Swedish flight attendant that's trying to bang.
That's family money.
Trying to settle down with our guy, Johnny Football.
Yeah.
I heard about that.
Yeah. How about an update, Johnny?
Johnny Football, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Get us an update and send me a couple more pictures.
Mm.
Anything that requires you to crawl under a house, Ed, would freak me out, or an attic. Right. I'm not into tight spaces where there might be rodents or droppings.
Can't imagine elephant handler would be such a good one.
Right. Yes. Yeah, they could step on you. They take big shits.
Right.
I'm not into anything that puts you in contact with dead things. But definitely, Ed, I think the worst job would be anything that required you to be in the proximity of semen.
Yeah, for sure.
Unless it's your own. So, Ed, my suggestion to you is do not submit your resume to Dutch SeaWorld anytime soon. Because apparently they take such good care of their dolphins that their care includes regular jerk-off sessions at the hands of park employees. Hold on. Let me clear my throat.
Oof.
Footage from the show's undercover. So someone's made a documentary.
Oh, no.
Which aimed to expose the living conditions for dolphins at Europe's largest marine mammal park.
Right. But that's bestiality porn now.
Yeah. What it shows is a male trainer using his hand to masturbate a male dolphin and rewarding him with fish afterward. To me, the ejaculation is reward enough.
That's the reward. I mean, when you're done with sex, does somebody say, hey, here's a cheeseburger?
Yeah, sandwich afterwards, just bonus. The clip that shows the dolphin masturbation now has over 200,000 views on YouTube, Ed.
Oh, jeez.
One woman who viewed the video filed a criminal complaint earlier this month that alleged the dolphinarium routinely sexually abused its animals. The marine park, meanwhile, insists that jerking off dolphins is a, quote, de-stressing technique. It's really difficult to argue with that because it definitely seems to de-stress me most of the time.
Totally at ease after that.
Also, they're trying to say that it has something to do with collecting sperm for their artificial insemination program, although in the video, I think he just lets it go. There's no Tupperware that I saw.
There's no Tupperware, no tissue. Yeah, they just let it go.
Yeah,
let it fly.
Not even a sock. Ed, what is the worst part of this story? Is it dolphin dicks? Is it the fact that a dude was performing the stroke job? Or Is it the Japanese guys that are furiously masturbating to the YouTube footage of this?
It's definitely the Japanese.
Yeah, because you know they are, Ed. They do like shit with tentacles and eels over there.
They're real weird. They've got so many weird things going on.
They do.
There had to be the day when that guy was assigned. Yeah. Like, hey, Hans, you come, you have a minute?
Hans, you
have a minute? What are you doing? Well, I'm gonna feed him. Well, before the guests get here today, you see Bubbles over there? He's acting a little antsy, and we need him to be ready for the show. Like, he's not cooperative. He's kind of doing his own thing, and you know, I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna need you to go jerk Bubbles off in the corner.
Okay. When do you feel the most relaxed? Is it? It's after you spend a little time with Helga. But sometimes
Helga's not around.
Helga's flying that red eye for Lufthansa or KLM, and she's not around. She's down with that Johnny Football guy in Houston. So you need to relieve. You need to de-stress on your own. But you see Bubbles over there at Hunts. He can't de-stress himself. He's only got flippers. He doesn't have opposing thumbs like you.
Right. There's no grip. I mean, he's been, for the last hour and a half, he's been just rubbing it up against the glass. It's just not working.
He needs a little help. So why don't you put on a glove, lube up.
And ski pole the shit out of that dolphin.
Take care of that dolphin dick over there. That dolphin dick is not going to jerk itself off, okay?
And dolphins, I mean, anytime you have animals that are closely associated with humans, like dolphins are assholes. They're rapists. They murder. Like they will like, you know, bounce people from their crew. Like,
yeah.
So they have needs. They're very human-like in many ways. Oh, and that means they need to be relaxed.
Yeah. They need.
Or they'll spoil your show.
Yeah. Ed.
Yeah.
They need to come.
I guess we know what they meant when the flipper theme song, and they said he lives in a world of wonder.
That's for sure. Yes.
Yeah.
That was always kind of weird because they like lived in the Glades, which is like fresh water. What was going on Flipper?
I think it was a real unsophisticated 1960 audience. That's what was going on.
Well, also, dolphins live in pods. They have families. And Flipper's just fucking on his own. Like,
yeah, he's just hanging out with some shitty blonde-haired boy.
Kept as a pet?
Yeah.
Pretty fucked up. Okay, Ed, it is time. Everyone's favorite. There's no more Bachelor, so I don't know. It's really exciting. Not sure what we're going to talk about today.
Has the other one started yet?
No.
The Bachelor in Paradise?
I don't think it starts until May. There's a Bachelorette.
That starts before the Paradise one?
Yeah, and then you do once they do the Bachelorette, then they bring out the Paradise, which is the best. The Bachelorette is the worst in the franchise. The Bachelor in Paradise is the best because there's lots of hookups. So it'll be a while before that happens. But I'm sure there are other things going on in the world of pop culture. That is why we bring on our very own Baller Lifestyle podcast, pop culture correspondent, to brief us on everything that's happening in the world of pop culture. Of course, I'm talking about our very own Fancy Sauce. How you doing, Fancy?
Hey.
Hey, Kate.
I'm just trying to get myself situated.
Yeah, get
here.
Yourself situated. Tried to talk for a long time.
That was a big intro.
Give you a chance to get ready. Still wasn't enough time.
I just caught a bit of
the Von Trapp family.
That dolphin.
The family
story.
Von Trapp.
Yeah. Oh, you're an animal lover.
Very disturbed by the whole
thing. Yeah, the Dutch.
So gross. I can't even read about it.
Well, I mean, I think somebody should ask Bubbles.
Ed, if he weren't captive, he'd be free to rape like dolphins do out in the ocean.
That's true.
Captive. That's the
true.
Point. But because he's captive, he's got to be jerked off by some Dutch dude, which, like, isn't the best thing to happen to you.
Yeah. So. Well, I'm out on SeaWorld. I'm out on circuses.
Yeah, agreed. Concur.
Out on all that shit.
totally agree.
I can't even. Zoos kind of bum me out now.
Yeah.
Zoos really bum me out.
Same here. Even like the nice zoos.
They look so sad.
Yeah.
We went to the
petting zoos, all that stuff. Yeah. When you go to something with your kids, you're like, I don't, this is a real bummer.
The San Diego Zoo is one of the better zoos in the country, and we went there last year, and even that.
It's kind of depressing.
I think I'm out.
It's a bummer.
I'll tell you what, we're pretty impressive, though. Those fucking polar bears.
They're always impressive.
Those things are fucking huge.
I went to the Central Park Zoo, and they had a polar bear. Like, it was like the middle of summer. He's like laying on a rock. He's like, oh, fucking kill me.
Yeah. Yeah. He wants to be where it's cold. Cool.
Yeah. It was like July. He's just laying there. He's like, this is not the movie Madagascar. Somebody just murder me.
Yeah. Let
polar
me out.
Bears are the only bears. All bears are carnivores, but polar bears are the only bears that are exclusively carnivores because there's nothing else for them to eat.
Not too many berries on the tundra.
Nope.
Okay, real quick, a couple of emails. We were talking about monsters last week. Paul has weighed in. Anyone that says amaze balls,
yes.
Oh, agree. Or awesome sauce.
Yes, that's a good one. Adorkable.
Yes.
Any of those would have to totally agree.
I just need to chime in quickly. I just want to make it clear to everybody that my Twitter handle, Fancy Sauce, is in no way derivative of that term, awesome sauce.
Oh, no. Okay? No.
Isn't it from a movie or something?
It's from Step Brothers.
Yeah.
It is.
It's a mixture of mayonnaise and ketchup.
I'm not ashamed to say it.
It's Fancy Sauce.
Anyway, thought I'd say that.
Okay, hold on. We have more. Here's another email. Hey, y'all. Hearing Kate's Australian accent is everyone's highlight of every podcast.
Oh, yeah.
It made me think about other accents, with her accent ranked first and Kyle and Scotty's accent ranked second. What are some of your other favorite accents in the States or worldwide? Please have resident impressionist Ed Daly give examples of the accents. That's from Ish. Good email, Ish. Ed, the worst accent in the world is the Baltimore accent.
The Baltimorean.
Is Scotty Wisconsin?
Wisconsin.
And Philly, which they're very similar.
Yeah, they are.
They're both hoogie very roll. Gross.
Can you put that on a hoogie reel?
Yeah.
I can't really do it.
Tuesday. Take Tuesday out.
The Boston's Crawl Show had pretty awful. Good.
With John Daly, that
Crawl Show had a good sketch where it was one it was like dueling pawn shops, and one was from Pittsburgh and one was from Philly. And they would duel off their accents.
It was Daly and who else?
Pittsburgh is it's there, but it's not as bad as Philly.
No.
Pittsburgh like yins. They say stuff like
yes.
But it's not nearly as bad as Philly.
No, and Philly and Baltimore, it's like the same accent, and it's awful. It's the worst one we have. Although the Chicago one is pretty grating.
Yeah, but for some reason you get over to Scotty. Maybe it's just Kyle, but
it's delightful.
Yeah, and the movie Fargo, I enjoyed their accents. I mean, if I lived with it, I don't know if I could deal with that.
Might be a bit much. Of course, we're leaving out the worst, by far the worst accent,
Boston.
Because it's said by the worst people.
Right.
The Boston accent.
Bastard.
And it's especially bad because it always comes out of the mouth of a Bostonian.
Right.
So that's the
amazing. And they're so proud.
They're so proud of being from Boston.
Boston listeners.
They rarely mention being from Boston. It's like being a vegan or doing CrossFit.
Very
it's
proud.
The fucking first
if
thing
Boston
you say.
Boston had its own flag. Yeah. Everyone in Boston would fly it out front.
That's true.
Their house.
Okay, here's another one. Guys, first of all, a thank you is in order. I gave baby powder a try a few months ago, and it is a game changer. Much appreciation for turning me on to that. Oh, I'm a baby powder fiend.
I've never done it.
Oh, I powder my nuts, Ed. I powder the fuck out of my nuts. It keeps them nice and dry. It's nice.
I think we should also, just as a public service, say that it may have carcinogens in it.
Yeah, it's talk.
And you guys can Google
it's
it.
It might not be healthy. But it's not going inside of my body. It's on the outside of my body. Don't stress me out. Okay, he continues.
Don't you have a problem with deodorant?
We don't use aluminum.
I use a natural deodorant.
Yeah, so whatever.
It's called Primal Pit Paste.
But you're putting shady shit on your balls. So look.
Yeah, I guess I'm balancing it out.
Right. I use the aluminum. I don't care. You shouldn't
do that, Ed.
Why?
Go on Amazon and get the Primal Pit Paste. I'm not being paid by them, but I should be. But it's made out of like coconut oil and stuff, and it works.
I hate coconut.
Do you really? Well, you're not going to eat it.
Now the smell.
No, it doesn't smell like coconut.
Okay, we digress. I was wondering if you guys might extend a challenge to John in Fullerton and Adam in Sugarland as to who can provide the most off-putting story. While I vividly recall a rendition from Adam involving a friend, a butt, and the Galveston Bay, I still find John and Fullerton's use of the word screw so much more distasteful. I feel like we have only scratched the surface of the lengths of depravity these men have experienced. Perhaps Ed could reach out to the Craigslist threesome guy as well. This seems like a good opportunity to check in. Keeping the baller lifestyle alive. That is from Ross. Excellent email, Ross. John is purposefully gross. So he's talked about things that I'm not even comfortable re-mentioning on the show. So he would win in a landslide.
Craigslist threesome guy, it's just there's always something going on with him. Like there's always, you know, I won't hear from him for a couple months, and then he'll just send me a picture of some USC girl he's giving coke to at that very moment. Oh, that is great. And it's like real creepy, and I just he's always up to something.
That is so.
I forget, is he a college friend or an old work friend?
College. Yeah.
But you know, he's like 42 now, hanging out with USC college students.
I mean, you might have to hook me up with him.
Yeah, I mean, there's some talent, which I only assume it's the coke talking.
I'm sure. Well, it sounds like he's got a bit of a rap. I mean, and also, he doesn't seem to be very inhibited, judging by the fact that he banged some guy's wife in front of him via a Craigslist ad.
That's right. That's right.
Speaking of cocaine, did you guys talk about Steve-O and Mike Tyson?
Oh, no, story. But I posted that on the Baller Lifestyle Facebook page.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
About Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
Steve-O apparently rocked a party with an 8-ball of coke, and he and Mike Tyson locked themselves in the bathroom for three days.
He knocked on, no, 3 hours. He knocked on the door of a party in the Hollywood Hills, and Mike Tyson opened the door, and he said, I mean, imagine this happening to you. And
do you have coke?
And he said, hey, can I come in? And Mike Tyson said, do you have coke? And Steve-O said, yeah, actually I do. And he's like, all right, come right in.
He had an 8-ball and some more.
Yeah. He basically had a half ounce of coke. And then he and Mike Tyson proceeded to go in the bathroom and just do all of his coke for the next 3 hours and talk about existential shit. And then he said the next time he saw Mike Tyson was in the psych ward where they were both incarcerated.
That's pretty good. That is good.
Okay, Kate, what is going on in the world of pop culture?
Yeah, well, let's get into it. It's actually the actual news.
Yeah, the real news.
As I like to call it. So I have an update on the Hulk Hogan-Gawker lawsuit. Yeah. Hogan, in case you have missed this, was awarded $115 million in damages on Friday by a Florida jury over Gawker's publication of a sex tape, which is an astounding figure that tops that $100 million he had asked for, that will probably grow before the trial concludes, and that could send a cautionary tale to online publishers despite the likelihood of an appeal by Gawker. The wrestler known in court by his legal name, Terry G. Bollea, sobbed as the verdict was announced in late afternoon, according to people in the courtroom.
He's called Terry and Hulk. I mean, that's like not really anywhere to go from there. That's just like the worst, just tear up the choose your own adventure at that point, you know?
I'm not.
That's right. Just close the book.
I'm not with the jury here. To me, the tape that was delivered to Gawker is legitimate news. Yeah. He's a celebrity, and I think this is newsworthy.
I'm confused because
the fact that it's a sex tape, I think, is beside the point. It's still newsworthy.
I feel like this could be a Supreme Court case because there is precedent for this. The Pentagon Papers is what I would think of as something that was gotten by maybe ill-begotten means and published, and it was published because
it was
news.
Whistleblower?
Yeah, somebody stole these papers and gave them to the New York Times or the Washington Post.
Okay,
and,
like so a pre-WikiLeaks
and,
situation.
And they ran them and they got sued and they won because it was news. And as much as and now we live in a time where a wrestler fucking his buddy's wife on tape is news. Fucking news. It like is. I don't know how this doesn't get overturned on appeal. Agreed. Ed, Daly,
I don't like Gawker in any way. I don't care about when people are talking about the slippery slope with First Amendment. Like, they exist only to tear people down. Like, there's not – when you look at, like, Deadspin, they do a lot of tearing down, but sometimes they'll talk about something awesome. Gawker is just shitting on people.
Well, it's the same company.
I understand that, but I'm saying that specific right. – I get it. And, like, there are funny things that can happen, and when – somebody like Mel Gibson is being just a horrible human being. I'm fine with sites posting stuff like that because, you know, you're exposing someone for being a terrible person. But like I just don't understand. Like Gawker doesn't have any other function.
I don't think we get to pick and choose.
Yeah. But they still, I mean, you're free to not consume their, and they've definitely done some things I don't appreciate, but sure. They have a First Amendment right to disseminate information. Like that's what they do.
I thought this was going on was Hulk Hogan like planted it. And this is just, you know, a cheesy way to stay in the news. But you know, if it is a sex tape against your will, like I don't see why they should publish that. That's no good.
What if it was a tape of somebody doing drugs? Someone famous doing drugs? Yeah. Is it just because it's sex?
I mean, it's a public.
Like, where do we draw the line?
I don't have a problem with somebody doing drugs. So I would say don't publish that either. I'm not who published Michael Phelps doing smoking weed. Like, what? Yes. Why?
No,
that's only to tear someone down.
I agree, but unfortunately, it's. You know, there is a market for that for people
but why,
want to consume
why is
information.
That, why is that okay from a news sense? Like, why to show somebody having sex that he's not okay with? Like, why is that? That's newsworthy. That's spying
on
someone.
That's
the same as what's her name, Erin Andrews.
With,
you're saying
with things that are newsworthy that gets posted about
it's them. Not news to me or you. It's not something that we're interested in, but millions of people.
But how is this different from Erin Andrews? How is it different? Somebody spying. Because I mean, if Hulk Hogan really didn't know, if that's what was proven, then this is Erin Andrews. That's not okay to me. That's not newsworthy.
Not
they had the right
the
to post that.
That
fuck
made
them.
The video.
Right.
And Erin Andrews wasn't suing the people that posted the video.
Either way, everybody was okay with, and I'm certainly okay with Erin Andrews winning whatever she did for a variety of reasons. But like Hulk Hogan, like if he didn't want that tape out there, why was it the public's right? Why is that newsworthy? I don't see it.
I still think it's going to get overturned on appeal based on the Supreme Court precedent. What else is going on, Kate?
All right, so boxer Manny Pacquiao is not welcome at the Grove Shopping Center in LA. Again, he's been banned after making homophobic statements last year. Grove owner Rick Caruso is quoted as saying, "These statements are hatred. A lot of people from the gay community come to the Grove and they have a right to feel comfortable." Manny Pacquiao is no longer welcome. After the February statements, which Pacquiao immediately backpedaled from, but I guess he was
where he said homosexuals were animals.
I liked when he clarified it. He's like, "No, I just wanted you to know that. I just think they're gonna burn in hell."
The animals
good
are
clarification,
better. They
buddy.
Know how to distinguish male from female. If we approve of male on male, female on male, then man is worse than animals.
Yeah. So this is
the second time Pacquiao has been banned from the Grove. In 2012, he was barred from the shopping center for quoting the Leviticus passage that says homosexuals should be put to death. I'm not sure when this ban was lifted, but I think at this point, maybe make it a lifetime ban. If you feel
well, maybe
about his
maybe you should be preaching people who pick up sticks on Saturday.
Yes.
They should be put to death.
Have sex with their aunt.
That's right. Now that's okay.
I mean, we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone type of thing, right? Like,
yeah,
fuck that
so.
Guy.
I just wonder what happened with like, if he was cruising around the Grove, would somebody contact Rick and he'd send
like,
his security guards down?
Get, Get rid of Manny Pacquiao.
So funny.
Some mall cop's going to have to try to get rid of Manny Pacquiao.
That'd be funny.
Yeah. And Manny Pacquiao just comes off like just the sweetest guy, but he's like a lot of people that
he's a monster.
Yeah. He has archaic views on human beings.
The Mexicutioner? Aren't cool. He's a little behind the times.
Yeah, shocking. What else is going on, Kate?
Comedian Kevin Hart apparently made bets throughout this past season of The Bachelor with his fiance, Inigo Parrish, and apparently it didn't go so well for Kevin. He says, I lost a lot of money during the season, but, you know, Higgins seemed to end it on a happy note, and I met him. He's a good guy, genuine guy. So hopefully that relationship takes him in a great, genuine direction. But I lost money. I had another pick. I had another two picks, actually. I tend to lose a lot.
He should have been listening to this show.
Kevin appeared on an episode of The Bachelor along with Ice Cube, where they accompanied The Bachelor, one of the girls, on a date, which is a gimmick they've been running with a few seasons now with these celebrity guests.
Saw it. You know, that Ice Cube is not much taller than Kevin Hart.
No, he isn't.
No, they're very wee.
And this isn't my original thought. I heard this somewhere else. I can't remember where, but I would like to give credit to wherever I heard it. I heard someone talk. I think it was on the radio. Somebody was talking about Ice Cube and him potentially being a studio gangster, and he said there is no more evidence of his studio gangsterism than claiming that on a good day he messed around and got a triple double. Because dude's like 5'6". I feel like he would have got a lot of shots swatted.
Yeah, it's going to have to be a guard-oriented lineup for him to even get like two rebounds.
And maybe he got it in steals, but he's a little pudgy. Like, I can't imagine him being like, the guy's a mogul, the guy's awesome, I love him.
I could buy the assists, right? I mean, you don't have to be imposing to get assists.
Sure. And maybe if you're laying off him and just letting him shoot from outside, he could rack up 10 pretty quick on three-pointers.
That's right.
But I don't know. I don't know if he's going to get 10 steals or 10 rebounds in the game.
No, that's not
my original thought, but I agree with it. No. Okay, Kate, what else is going on?
One of Ed's favorite actors, Shia LaBeouf, known of late for watching all his own movies in chronological order in a New York movie theater. And in February, he went up and down an elevator in London for 24 hours.
He does like a lot of really boring endurance tests.
So he must have made a ton of money, right? Oh, I guess the Transformers, right? Because these are not projects that elevators and stuff like that. Like this doesn't generate any income.
He was in that Indiana Jones.
He does a lot of free performance art.
Yeah, he's got some money, but also I think he lives rather spartanly. I remember he got in a car accident. He was driving an F-150. You know, he's not living too high on the hog. He's a maniac.
Performance art is really terrible.
Also, a worse thing that he's done that we reported on this show, this guy works out in jeans.
That's true.
Oh.
He's a jeans workout guy.
One time, Michelle's mom got us tickets to some show that it was like supposed to be like, you know, one of these hot shows in New York.
She knows you love musical theater.
But this was 15 years ago or whatever it was.
When your love of musical theater first took hold.
No, I didn't know what it was. It was performance art. So it was these people and they like come down from the ceiling and they like get in your face and you don't even have seats. You just go into a room and like people are standing around you. And like at the intermission, I was like, Michelle, we gotta get the fuck out of here.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah. It was awful.
Let's go to a bar. Not
we went out to dinner. We went out to dinner right after. It was like, well, our reservation, and I said, I don't care when the reservation is. We got to leave right now.
We'll get there early.
I don't want somebody in my face. And they were like all painted up. Like, what am I going to get?
Oh, they were like up close and personal.
Yeah, awful. I'm going to get blue paint on my shirt because some asshole thinks I want to be part of the show.
Kate, what is going on with Shia LaBeouf? Have we gotten to that part?
No.
We've digressed.
The story is that he's apparently engaged to his longtime girlfriend, Mia Goth.
I just can't even deal. They sound like they're perfect for each other.
Is she like a known commodity?
She's an actress. She was in a movie with.
She's German and she has no eyebrows. I've seen her.
I don't know what
she's always surprised looking.
Besides Nymphomaniac 2, where they met.
Yeah, I've been wanting to watch those Nymphomaniac movies. That sounds like my kind of movie.
It was a cashier at the LA grocery chain Gelson's who apparently was the first to be informed about the engagement And break the news after chatting to the couple whilst checking them out. He seems about right.
He seems like more of a Whole Foods guy.
Yeah.
Gelson's is all right, but he seems like it's kind of shocking that he shops there.
Who knows?
Well, good for him. I'm sure that marriage will last. It'll be like a
I'm sure it'll make it. I'm sure they'll make it.
For our honeymoon, let's ride in the St. Louis Arch for 4.5 days.
Yeah, that won't get old. What else is going on, Kate?
It's come to light recently that Ben Affleck's very large, very colorful back tattoo is a fake.
Oh.
In case you weren't aware, Ben was spotted with some colorful ink that covered the entirety of his back and features what appeared to be a phoenix with its wings spread wide across his shoulder blades. Ben apparently has said it was fake for a movie, adding, "I actually do have a number of tattoos, but I try to have them in places where you don't have to do a lot of cover-up. They get sort of addictive tattoos after a while."
Oh.
I'll be honest, I'm a big Ben Affleck fan. I was very, very concerned about this tattoo.
You're not a big Ben Affleck fan.
Well, after that shower scene.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean,
Ben Affleck.
He had a nice shiny cock.
I enjoy Ben Affleck in movies.
He definitely chubbed it up, though, as anyone
Which
would.
Makes me a fan.
Yeah.
I enjoy him in movies.
He's
not all right. All movies. He's like all right. I won't see that Batman versus Superman.
The movies he's directed have been
good. Over my dead body.
Yeah. What's that one where he did the Superman, where he was like the guy that was Superman that got murdered in the 40s? That was a good movie.
I don't remember.
Yeah. The town was good.
Yeah.
Argo was good.
Yeah. Yeah. He's all right. I don't mind
talented.
Him.
Argo.
Yeah. Argo. No, he is. He's a talent. Is that it, Kate?
Yes.
Oh, excellent
fancy
job.
Fancy pop for the week.
There he's finally the news. Excellent job as always,
Ed
Daly.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Excellent job as always, Kate McManus.
Thank you.
For Ed Daly, for Kate McManus, I'm Brian Beckner. This has been episode 112 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.